Good morning, Hub City. Brings me great joy to be with you this morning. Let me introduce myself a little bit because the room has changed a lot since I was back here. I think January 1st, and some of y'all were probably sleeping late on that morning. My name is James Nugent, and I was here at Oak Grove Baptist Church as transitional pastor for a while. And I think the last time that I stood and delivered a message prior to January 1st, there were about 30 of us that were gathered here, praying that God would do an amazing work to allow a church to remain, and by his grace, he has. It has not been an easy transition, but it has been a transition that has honored the Lord. And now I get to be with you again for the summer as your pastor, Jonathan Everett, is on sabbatical. I share around the state that when he's on sabbatical and all the preachers are like, how did he get that? You know, what church lets a preacher leave? But I am honored to be with you. And I feel like I've just been handed someone else's newborn baby. And I don't know quite how to hold it. I remember my firstborn was given to me, and I'm like, all right, so where do I put my hand? And, you know, I kind of think I'm looking at a newborn here in front of me. And it was just that awkward yet such delicate trust that was bestowed upon me at that moment, and I am there again today. I promise the wheels aren't going to come off the bus this summer, and if we're going to continue to honor the Lord, we're going to continue to make Christ known together, and I might even talk about the Tigers somewhere along the way and kind of honor the tradition of Jonathan. I know. But it is a joy to be with you and a joy to invite you to consider God's word. And I just want to take a moment and pray. I'm overwhelmed just to be here and just want to thank God that there is a church that is glorifying Christ in this community, in this building. And I pray, want to ask God's blessing on our time this morning. Would you pray with me? Father, it is a joy to be known by you and to be able to serve you in ways that we never even imagined. Father, it brings me to tears to think of what you've done here in Spartanburg and in this place. And while I know that are many that could be here today that are not, and I pray that your blessings on them, that they can worship wherever they are in a way that honors you. And I pray that Hub City, as they've walked through 9 months now of creating a new DNA and a new culture of being a church to the city that is called Spartanburg and beyond. Lord, that this precious gift you entrust to us this summer, and while their pastor is on sabbatical and resting, I pray, Father, that we would be good stewards, that we would see this as an opportunity to get in the game and to take a plunge into the deep end of making you known here and wherever you send us. I pray for rest for Jonathan and his family, that this sabbatical comes at a really good time, and I pray that you would speak to him and revive his soul, that when he comes back, he can continue the mission that we've invested in this summer. I pray that you would make things new for us today as we open your word, that we would see your mission clearly and we would choose to be a part of it, to know you and to make you known. I pray that these would not just be my words, a humble servant, but these would be your words, and you'd move us to action this morning. So teach us what we don't know, and move us to a life of obedience in response to it. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you have a copy of Scripture, I invite you to turn to Luke 24 on your phone, or if you're still an old-fashioned print version, go to Luke 24. I'm going to read from the ESV version this summer, so if you have a chance to switch versions, I invite you to follow along with me there. It might make it a little easier. I'm a father of two teenage boys. I say teenage, they might as well be. One's 12 and one will be 15 tomorrow, Joel and Andrew. And our life is in the midst of a transition. You know, as the temperature changes, the boys are shedding their winter clothes and getting on shorts and flip-flops. They're trading in the TV and the tablet, and they're chasing anything that they can in the yard that can be conquered or killed or, you know, hit over the fence. This is what boys do, right? So I'm waiting for the proverbial question to come of, Dad, when can we go swimming? Because we don't have a pool. We don't even live in a neighborhood that has a pool. You know, these neighborhoods that are kind of developed to kind of bring all the entertainment right there. You don't ever have to leave to kind of create a pseudo community. We're not one of those families. So we go through all the options. So who do we know that has a pool that we can kind of jump in on and just say, hey, we're here to swim? Or what public places are there that are available? We run through this every summer. You know, as it gets warmer, we transition from school to spending time outside. And it always includes swimming. Our whole life changes when summer gets here. Our schedule's different. The way we spend money is different. Our time is different. What we do with our life is different, and yours probably is too. And summer's just one of those transitions in life that we all go through. Some of us have recently gone through graduation, right? I mean, nothing says I'm supposed to say I'm an adult now like graduation. You notice I said supposed to, right? So many people are graduating and still living at home, even after college, even after grad school. But that's a whole other story. So graduation says this is it. You're fully an adult, right? Or maybe you've gone to a wedding this spring where two separate lives, the people living for themselves, all of a sudden they look at each other like, oh, I see you. And they join their lives together and everything changes, right? I remember when we got married and we were 27 and everything changed. I mean, I was set in my ways and doing what I want, and God said, hey, there's a woman over there. And I was like, yeah, there is. And everything changed after that. And I've been 19 years together now. Or maybe your family's moving. I mean, summer's a good time to transition. A lot of people buying, selling houses, moving in and out of the community. And just layers upon layers of transition that take place with moving. Well, there's one transition that we're going to focus on in Hub City all summer long. And it's a spiritual transition. It's really a spiritual transformation. When Christ, the Lord of all, the God of the universe, actually comes into your life, everything changes. It's supposed to change. When you go from being dead in your sin and separated from God to being connected to the one that created you and knows you and has a purpose for your life changes. And we're going to talk about that transition, that transformation all summer long. Hub City even has gone through remarkable transitions this last year. And I want to tell you, well done. I mean, y'all have gone from set up, tear down in a movie theater, or people in here doing everything and anything because we don't even have enough deacons to fulfill the bylaws and don't even have enough men to meet the bylaws kind of thing. So huge transitions that have brought y'all together in a merged church to form a new community, a new identity. Now it's time to accomplish God's mission together as Hub City Church. Well done. You're stepping out in faith this summer. Jonathan's off stage, and some of you are going to be filling new roles like you've never been asked to do before. Everything that used to center around the founding pastor now has been entrusted to us, and by the grace of God, we won't mess it all up, right? This one transition that is so important, this knowing Christ and making him known, is really the focus of our text this morning. You as a church have already realized it. Matter of fact, you created a vision statement that really reflects what we're going to talk about all summer. Your vision statement as Hub City Church is, we believe God is calling Hub City Church to be a training, equipping, and sending hub so that we can be the church in our neighborhood, workplaces, and around the world as salt, light, and ambassadors of Jesus. That's who we are. That's what we do. So we're going to, this in essence, Hub City, you are a means for changing lives through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to make Jesus known and reflect him to the world. So this summer, I'm going to encourage you to take a plunge into God's mission. Maybe you're over here on the side of the pool and you have your life has some doubt and some unbelief, but you're just kind of checking things out today. You know, you're supposed to go to church in the South. You're looking for a place to belong or looking for somebody to meet. You're over here on the side. I encourage you to hear the words this morning and wade into the shallow end of faith. Or maybe you're already in the shallow end and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to encourage you to go towards the deep end and start making Jesus known this summer. So that wherever you are on this religious journey, the spiritual walk that you're on, I'm going to encourage you to go deeper all summer long. Get in the pool, get to what God is doing, and do it more. Take steps of faith in a time when it's really easy to talk to people about Jesus. When it's really easy to know Jesus in your own time using the transitions of summer. And much like kids learning to swim, we're going to come week after week. You're going to have leaders up here, not just me. You're going to have other guys up here that are going to be encouraging you to go deeper and go deeper and go deeper so that all of us are taking the plunge in knowing Jesus and making him known. That's who we say we are as a church. It all begins with knowing Jesus. So look at Luke 24. Maybe a familiar story to you. If not, it's a great story. And I'm going to read through a good bit of it, and then we'll come back and unpack it kind of verse by verse this morning. Luke 24, beginning in the 13th verse, the Word of God reads, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all the things that had happened. And that while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went to them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is the conversation you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, a mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was to be the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since all these things have happened. Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find the body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. And they said to them, and he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that Christ should suffer these things and then enter into glory, his glory?' In beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them in all the scriptures and things concerning him. And they drew near to the village to where they were going, and he acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now spent.' So he went in to stay with them, and while they were at the table with them, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?'" This morning, I want to invite you to plunge into God's mission together. And as I said, it really all begins with knowing Jesus. But knowing about Jesus is not enough. This story is about two men. It says that this very day they were going to a village named Emmaus, and they were talking about all the things that had happened. So these two men were walking 7 miles, several hours from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're talking about all the things that have happened. So as you're reading scripture and you see phrases like that, that should kind of perk you up to say, okay, what's Luke talking about? What are those things? And what really happened on that day? So you kind of flip back through your Bible, you can let your eyes glance backward, you can see all the things that they're talking about are all the things that happened around the crucifixion of Christ. That there was a man who was thought to be mighty of God, a great teacher who was performing miracles, and he came to Jerusalem riding on a colt, and they arrested him. He was betrayed by one of his own. He was crucified. He was put into a borrowed tomb, and now the tomb is empty. And they're wondering what's going on. So I'd imagine they're talking about everything that happened, including the earthquake, including the sky growing dark in the middle of the day, about the women who ran and couldn't find the body, about the men who ran and couldn't find the body. On and on they could go about all the events. I mean, they could talk for the whole 7 miles from one place to another about the things that happened in Jerusalem. And then along the way, Jesus draws near to them, the text says. He went to them. And Luke tells us, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. This is the second group of people that Jesus is appearing to as you kind of roll back through the gospel accounts. Jesus has resurrected. This is the one who was crucified. This is the one who has risen again. This is the one in bodily form is now walking on the road with two men who were wondering what happened to him. But they couldn't recognize him. Luke says he kept him from being recognized. And Jesus initiates a conversation like, hey, what are y'all talking about? It'd be like going to Starbucks and you see two people engaged in a conversation and you just kind of sit down with them over here in a little bit and you say, hey, what are you guys talking about? And you just join in with whatever conversation is going on. That's what Jesus did. He just kind of walks in, keeps walking towards Emmaus and says, hey, what are y'all talking about? And it says in verse 19 and following, they're like, dude, do you not realize what has happened? Are you the only one who doesn't get it? They obviously don't know they're talking to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so they wouldn't have said something like that, right? So, I mean, they think it's the only person that's been anywhere near Jerusalem that didn't know what was happening. Maybe he missed the sky going dark. Maybe he missed the earthquake. Maybe he missed all the rumors and the excitement of people. I don't know. He missed it all, they're thinking. I mean, I don't know what rock this guy's been hiding under, but we're going to tell him everything. So they start to run through all the events that happen while they're walking. And using language like the women even amazed us. And we were with the company when the women went, and then we were, when then some others among us went and found the tomb just as the women said. So what we really quickly learned is these two guys aren't just two guys. They're followers of Jesus. They were among the crowd that were there in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and they were actually in that room after Jesus was crucified, and they were there waiting for something to happen. They were among the disciples, the apostles, the chosen, the called out ones that were there in that room waiting. And they saw everything firsthand. And then somewhere they made a decision like, it's over. We thought he was the Messiah. We thought he was the one that all the prophecies had been foretold, but I guess he's not. And they got on the road and started going towards Emmaus. They did not see. Luke says that over and over in this passage, and that really is the whole focus of the story. Is there are religious people who do not see. You know anybody like that? I mean, the whole focus is these two men knew everything about Jesus. They were born as a Jew, they raised, and they knew all the prophecies concerning him. They were looking for a Messiah to come. They joined this band of followers, and they're hanging out, and they're listening to his teaching, they're watching what's going on. They're up in a room waiting for a resurrected Savior to come, and now they're going back to Emmaus without hope. They had everything they needed to realize who Jesus is and was and always will be. But they missed it. These men were spiritually blind long before they ever encountered Jesus on the road, because they had already decided to leave and go back to Emmaus. Everything that they had heard just kind of washed away. Everything they were hoping for, gone. These men were spiritually blind in the midst of overwhelming evidence. Even the guard at the tomb, the Roman soldier at the tombs were slain at Jesus' feet. The Roman soldier at the cross looked up when they saw the sky grow dark. They knew that this was the Son of God. He got it. They didn't. And they had all the evidence that they should have. This is more of just a Bible story. This is more like my story, where I was religious and yet did not see Jesus for who he was. I was serving in a Baptist church. I was a member in the choir. We had a little choir loft over here. There's about 8 of us kind of hanging out, singing together. Taught youth Sunday school, doing everything morally right. I was a good Southern religious person, but I didn't know Jesus. Until Terry Chupp got on the platform and he talked about being fishers of men, and I was convicted of my sin, and I realized my eyes were open for the first time to who I was and who God was, and everything changed. Maybe that's like your story. You've done this church thing for a while. Maybe even mama's drug you to church before you even knew you were supposed to come. I've met people that were on a cradle roll before they were ever born. It's just the thing to do in the South, right? So maybe that's your story too. Somewhere along the way, God opened your eyes and you realized that you were a sinner in front of a holy God, and you were helpless and you couldn't save yourself. And the only thing you could do was place faith in this one who had died for you. And everything changed. Everything. What happened to these men in the story? It's the same thing that happened to me and maybe to you. Look at verse 25 again. Because everything changed for them. Jesus says, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that Christ, the Messiah, should suffer these things and enter into glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures and things concerning him." Jesus changed the conversation. He confronts them of their unbelief and explains all the scriptures concerning things. It's much like kids when they go to a swimming pool. for the first time of the summer. I mean, they're like sticking their toes in, right? It's cold. Yeah, it's cold. And they're just kind of hanging out, running around the side, and they'll stick their toe in again, see if it got any warmer, kind of thing. Jesus is inviting these men to just jump in on faith, to everything that they know. Jesus is telling them about the Old Testaments that these men were trained when they were young. They were taught the scriptures, and he explains everything about them. And then in verse 31, he says that their eyes were opened and they recognized him. When these men sat down for a meal and he broke bread with them, the same thing that happened with the disciples before Jesus was crucified, their eyes were opened. And they said to each other, verse 32, didn't our hearts burn within us while he was talking about these scriptures? There's something going on that I can't really explain. When Jesus shows up and he starts to share scripture with me, my eyes are open. It's like, what is this thing that's happening to me? They knew about Jesus. And Luke gives us a front row view of two religious men that their lives are converted by faith in Jesus Christ. They go from just knowing about him to actually knowing him. They knew Jesus. When he opened their eyes, with all this overwhelming evidence started to make sense to them, finally, they see and understand clearly. They're filled with all these kind of emotions. They call it like a burning within us, and they're talking to each other. It's a lot like Paul writes in Ephesians 2, when he says, but God being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. There's this change that takes when Jesus shows up and we believe by faith in him. These men were made alive. They were plunged into the mission of God by the gospel of Christ. And knowing Jesus changes everything. Everything. This mission of God begins with knowing him. But it also continues with making him known. Pick up the story again in verse 33. And they rose at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Now, this is surprising to me because it's dark, and they stayed because it was late and they didn't want to go back. But Jesus, when Jesus came into their life and showed up, they're like, dude, we're not staying here. I don't care how dark it is and how far I got to walk. I'm going back. So they go back 7 miles after encountering Jesus, right? So they rose at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11. And those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And when they told that they had what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread, verse 36. And as they were talking about all these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be to you, peace to you. And they were startled and frightened, and they thought they had saw a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled and why do your doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still disbelieved for joy and the marvel, they said to him, have you anything to eat? He said to them, have you anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. And then he said to them, these are my words that I have spoken to you while I was with you, that everything was written about the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understanding the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in the name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of the Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. It begins with knowing Jesus. This plunge into God's mission. But it continues with making Jesus known. These men go to where they live, work, and play first. They rose at the same hour and headed back to Jerusalem. They took a 7-mile walk to proclaim what had happened to them, this appearance of Jesus, and he opened their eyes. They couldn't wait to get back to a familiar spot, that spot of Jerusalem, among the people that they were familiar with, the 11 that they had already come from. They went back to the places that were most familiar, most comfortable with, to tell about Jesus first. And that's exactly what they did. Verse 24, they told all that had happened. I mean, they were probably talking about their walk to Emmaus and all the things that Jesus had told them. I can't imagine the excitement on their face that they, when they were telling about what this thing that had happened on, up in Emmaus, and while they were breaking the breads and they understood fully. I can't imagine that they, you know, all the excitement in their voice when they're retelling the story. This is really how the mission of God continues. People who know Jesus, people whose lives have been changed by Jesus, go back and start telling other people about Jesus. It's not hard. You go back to the familiar places first. You go back to where you live. You think about your neighbors. You think about the people that are around you, the people that already know you. You go back to your coworkers. You go back to your friends, your family, and you tell them what has happened to you. You go to the places where you play, the hobbies that you might have. Maybe you're a fisherman. Maybe you're chasing your kid's sports ball or whatever. I don't know what it is. Maybe you just like to hang out at a coffee. Whatever your hobby is, whether it's crochet or throwing darts, you go there and you tell people about Jesus. These familiar places is where you start to make Jesus known. They're the easiest place to begin. And if statistics are right, 7 out of 10 people, wherever you live, work, and play, are not following Jesus. They're not living a transformed life. They may be religious. They may even talk about Easter and Christmas and whatever else is expected in the South, but they're not living a changed life. Just like Cleopas. You have a Cleopas wherever you live. You probably have a lot of Cleopas. You have them where you work, where you play. They're good moral people. They're doing what is right. They're volunteering. They're serving. They even have some kind of faith. They may even pray. But they're not being changed by Jesus. They're blind to the new life that they could have by placing their faith in Christ. Verse 36 tells us, as these men, Cleopas and his partner, were telling their story about everything that had happened when Jesus broke the bread and their eyes were open, as they talked about these things, Jesus himself stood among them. In verse 45, he opened everyone's eyes to understand the scriptures. Now, I don't want to over-spiritualize what happens here, and I don't want to create a kind of plug and play where this is going to happen every time. But there is a pattern here that we see in Scripture, and this is one of those the many times that when people's lives are changed and they place faith in Christ and they're made new, the old self is gone, the new self comes, and they're truly born again, to use another religious word, they have a new life in Christ. And they, by faith, start to tell people about Jesus. Jesus shows up. Now, I wish that he would show up in the bodily form like he did here. That would make it really convincing to everybody we were trying to witness to, right? You know, they would really believe if they saw the holes in his hands and the holes in his feet. And oh, yeah, now I believe, but no, no. But he does show up. Their eyes are opened when they hear the scriptures. If you think people can get saved just by being religious and being your friend and talking about God and you never open the scriptures, it's not going to happen. It is by the word of God that faith comes. So these men tell what happened. They explain the fulfillment of prophecy, and Jesus shows up, and the same can happen in your life. You can tell what happened to you. You can tell how Jesus is, what he does in the New Testament. You can read through gospel together, and Jesus will show up and open their eyes, and they too can believe. You're changed. You share freely about Jesus. Jesus shows up and opens their eyes, and they too believe. That's the pattern that happens over and over and over again. Remember my life? I was religious and yet I didn't see. And when the scriptures were told, my eyes were open and my life was changed. It's a pattern that is consistent. I wish that Jesus in his resurrected body would show up every time, but he doesn't. If you go back to Ephesians 2, we can see this again, that when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive together in Christ. Romans 10 says it another way. Paul writes to the church at Rome, he says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call upon the name, call upon him whom they have not heard or believe, not believed? And how will they believe if they have not heard? How will they hear without someone preaching or telling them? How are they going to preach unless they are sent? For as is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord who has believed what is he heard from us. So faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. Somebody who's had a changed life with Jesus has got to go tell somebody else who hadn't had their life changed. That's as simple as it gets. If your life has been through a change with Christ, then you need to go tell somebody else. You know him, now let's go make him known. It's part of Hub City's vision, right? To be a sending hub. Quote unquote, so that we can be the church in our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and around the world as salt and light, as ambassadors for Jesus. That's who we are. That's what we're going to do. God's mission includes us making Jesus known wherever we live, work, and play. And it's not just for Spartanburg. It's to the ends of the earth. Jesus even says it here, right? To those faraway places. Verse 47, all this happened so that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed to all nations. What does all nations mean? All nations. All language groups, if you want to translate it more properly. It's not just the little countries with the political system, but it's everybody who kind of speaks a different tongue, has a different culture. It starts here and then it goes there intentionally. That's the way God has designed this mission. That's the way God has designed our lives. And these witnesses in Luke make it possible for us to know Jesus today. Those 11 that were in that room that heard Cleopas and his other friend tell what happened on the road to Emmaus, they continued to make Jesus known. When persecution arose, Roman emperor came, scattered everybody. The great diaspora took place and the people of faith of Jesus were scattered. They took Jesus and proclaimed it there. And it just kept going until we got the chance to hear about Jesus. And our lives were changed. Who are we to stop it? This mission of God that brought salvation to us needs to continue to other people who don't know Christ. Don't let it end with you. There are people all around you that are waiting for the hope that you have. They're getting up and going to a godless work. They think it's a godless work. You can hear it in their language and the way they talk about their boss and their coworkers. They have no hope. They're going through the exams at the end of the year at school, and they don't have any hope that God's going to help them. They don't have any hope for their marriage. They don't have any hope for raising their kids. There is no hope. They're just trying to survive. But you can give them hope with Jesus if you would tell the story of how God showed you, opened your eyes to who Jesus is. We have to know him and we have to make him known. This mission that God has called us to needs to continue. And this summer, we're going to do everything we can to equip you for that mission. We're going to walk you through step by step, almost like helping you learn the plays that you got to play. Not that we're trying to catechize you or anything. We're not going there, all right? We're not going to make you drink the Kool-Aid. But we are going to give you every tool that you need so that you can make Jesus known somewhere. If by the end of the summer you hadn't told somebody about Jesus, it's on you. We're going to give you everything so that it'll be simple, reproducible, so that you can just tell what Jesus has done and what he wants to do in other people. We're going to do this week after week right here in this gathering. We're just inviting you to take the plunge, to wade into the shallow and believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe Jesus is not your Lord. Maybe you're just here with somebody as an invitation and you just thought it was good to come to church on a Sunday morning. It was a rainy day. You didn't want to stay at home. You thought you'd come see what's happening over here. I'm glad you're here. I pray that you know Jesus. I pray that these words that I've read can open your eyes to understand that there is a man who actually was alive and he lived a sinless life and he was put to death on a cruel, rugged cross, but he didn't stay there. He rose again from the dead to be a bodily form, to eat fish, to be touched by people, to walk on a road. It happened. And it happened so that you could have eternal life, so that you can have hope today and forevermore. If you want to know more about that, I'll be down here down front after our service is closed, and I'll stay as long as you want to talk about Jesus so that you leave here with hope. But if you already have hope in Christ and you know Christ is your Lord and Savior, I want you to make him known. I want you to wade out past that little safety line in the pool and get into that deep end. Even if you got to get swimmies on, go. So that somebody else will know Jesus. How dare someone from Spartanburg come to the end of their life and not know Jesus? Hub City is going to be a church that is going to make Jesus known. You got a really cool family to do it. You're loving, you're serving, It's really easy to get to know you guys. Why not introduce them to Jesus and invite them to be a part of what God is doing here? I invite you to plunge into the mission today, to know him and to make him known. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for your goodness to us today, that we get to study the scriptures that have been preserved for us, that we get to read stories about Cleopas and his friend that were walking to Emmaus, and Jesus showed up, and he opened their eyes to see clearly who he is as the Son of God, the sinless man who gave his life so that we could have forgiveness of every sin that we ever committed, that we could truly experience life forevermore. Father, this world has no hope. The only hope that ever exists for now is Jesus Christ, and I pray that we would place faith in that. Maybe we've tried everything else in the world. We wade into the shallow end of faith and trust Jesus today. We acknowledge that we're broken, that we've done wrong, and believe that there is a man who can cleanse us of all sin because his blood was shed for our sins. Will we trust him as our Lord? And when we wade past the deep end and make Jesus known, I bet there are three people that come to our mind right now. Three people that we know that are sleeping in this morning. They're living life for themselves. Maybe they're desperate and hopeless. Will we go from this place and just start a conversation with them? Will we pray for them until they believe? And would we never stop pursuing them with the love of Christ and the gospel of Jesus as long as we get a chance to know him? Father, whatever our decision is today, I pray that you would move, that we would be changed by your presence. And as we sing and celebrate about this resurrected Jesus, Father, may you be glorified. We will accomplish your mission. We're going to be faithful to plunge, to know Jesus and to make him known all summer long. May you empower us to do it, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.